It's time for Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Every week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. Guests will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Every show is a dose of inspiration. This is Success Profiles Radio. And now, here's your host, Brian K. Wright.
Hello and welcome to Success Profiles Radio. I'm your host, Brian K. Wright. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you here today. I'm honored that you chose to spend part of your day with me here, and this is going to be a fantastic and amazing show. I'll be introducing my guest shortly, and I promise we're going to have a lot of fun and we're going to learn some things along the way. I do want to take a minute or two to share some things I've been learning and thinking about lately, and if you've been with me for any length of time, you know that I do this every single week. So here we go. One of the ideas we hear a lot about in the personal development world or in building a successful life is to identify what you want to make plans to have that happen. And this is entirely true, but what people often do not think about is what you also need to give up. In other words, figure out what you don't want to do any longer. What are you unwilling to tolerate anymore? Who are you no longer willing to have around? And most importantly, why not? If you draw your line in the sand and say no more, that will cut off a lot of options that don't serve you at all, and it allows you to focus on the things that will serve you better. This might mean disappointing a few people, but so what? It's your journey. I resolved a long time ago that I am not required to explain my journey to someone who will never understand it and is not committed to doing so. It's absolutely pointless. So remember this, resolve today to identify what you are no longer willing to tolerate, draw your line in the sand, you will feel more peaceful, more powerful, and more productive, and you will be so glad you did. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, please do that. Leave a 5-star review if you think it's worth it. I would love that. That would mean a lot to me. My guest this week is Angela Dungan. Let me tell you a little bit about her. From Section 8 housing and welfare to serial entrepreneur, she's a woman who has defied the odds and conquered a childhood of abuse and poverty. She's a force in personal finance with over 25 years of experience and a heart for empowering women who want to take their lives to the next level. Angela has a diverse career in banking, personal financial advising, owning a top 10 RE/MAX office for 5 straight years with over $2 billion in sales, and establishing and selling an insurance agency. She now hosts the top-rated show Empower Her Money podcast, which is one of the fastest growing in the entrepreneurship and finance space. And her mission is very simple. She wants to transform female entrepreneurs' lives through financial literacy and generational wealth. And it's never, ever too late to rewrite your financial story. So we have a lot to unwrap and unravel today. So here we are with my very special guest, Angela Dungan. Angela, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So the question I start with everybody is, did you envision early on that you would be where you are right now?
Absolutely not. I just wanted to not be in poverty. And that was the goal that I set out when I turned 18 and moved out of my house and signed my first lease. I think I was just running away from the pain of growing up in poverty. No idea what was in front of me, but I knew what I did not want to live.
Yeah, for sure. And since that was your experience, did you have any models, role models of who you wanted to be? How did you figure it out?
No models at all other than what not to do. So, you know, sometimes when you grow up in poverty, you really have nothing to lose. And so you're willing to take bigger chances or swing for the fences to get to a different life. And for me, I thought that if I just went to school, learned about money, that somehow money would appear in my life. And that wasn't quite what happened.
Yeah, they don't really talk a lot about money in school, do they? They don't really teach you how to make it, how to keep it.
No, not at all. And even some of the teachers and college professors that I had really didn't have money in their life, meaning, you know, they did get a salary from their job, but they weren't successful, especially in the entrepreneur world. But they were teaching from a textbook, which I learned was not the best way for me to learn how to truly create income for my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what was the point where you realized I need to model this and I need to be mentored by somebody?
When I graduated college, I was working for Bank of America at the time, and I took a job as a receptionist in the investment division with Bank of America. I figured if they were, you know, driving the fancy cars that I would see come to the bank, that perhaps they knew something about money that I did not. So I took that receptionist job, which was probably below what I would wanted to have had as a career coming out of college, but I wanted to get in the right rooms. And so I was able to meet financial advisors that were successful in the industry and just kind of pick their brain and learn more about investing and how they ran their business and how they treated clients. And so that was really my first way of getting in the right rooms and asking questions and having true mentors and coaches in my life.
That is absolutely fantastic. And that's actually really brilliant. I think a lot of people would have been very prideful about, oh, that job is beneath me. But you saw that as an opportunity to meet someone who could help you rise above.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I met two incredible women. I mean, these women would just walk into the room and they had such confidence and they had the fancy cars and they would talk about their houses and their vacations. And I just wanted to know, like, how do I get that? And I was fortunate enough that they were just very giving. I would ask a ton of questions. I had the opportunity to work as an assistant, a financial advisor on one of their teams, and just learn and absorb as much information as possible. But I think the biggest impact on me was how they treated clients. And I really have taken that from my early age and just kept that going in my career and the different businesses I had. When you come from contribution and you show your clients that you truly care about their own financial goals, then they're more willing to trust you and listen to the advice that you have. So I took that away from them very early on, and I've always kept that in my back pocket when I'm dealing with clients.
Yeah. And it's also a real blessing that you met people who saw you as you could be and not just who you were then.
Yeah, I was very fortunate for that. But I think just having a very curious mind and asking questions without, you know, being a time vampire and taking too much away, but also how can I help them? I didn't have any clients that I could refer to them, but at least from the banking side, when I did come from the branch, then I was able to at least teach some of those those employees that sat at the branch how to look for referrals and send that over to these financial advisors as my way of contributing to them and saying thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So what have you learned from failing or not achieving the thing that you wanted at the time?
Before I really got into conversation with these two incredible women, I had thought I was going to be my own investor, right? There was a movie called The Boiler Room, and it made it look so simple. I walked in and I sent off $100 to a mutual fund thinking this is going to be my way. This is my ticket and how I'm going to start creating wealth, right? But I didn't know what I was doing. And I sent that money away. I lost $20 and I felt devastated. I felt stupid. I thought, I'm in the wrong industry. I'm never going to create my own money. And I was pretty sad. But what I learned from that is I didn't stop trying. I didn't stop taking action. And when I had the opportunity to meet more people like the two women that I met, and they taught me a different way of investing, then I was able to achieve better success because I never stopped trying. I went and sought out better information and invested that time in myself to create more income and more wealth. But it really took action for me and not giving up that first failure.
Exactly. So why did you decide to become an entrepreneur?
Well, I was working for Bank of America at the time. We had gone through so many mergers. I was working crazy hours and I just thought there has to be a better way. You know, you reach a point in a career that you're putting in the hours, you're not seeing the rewards. And I was exhausted. And I thought, like, there has to be another way for me to create an income and a lifestyle that I want to live without having a W-2 paycheck. So I was fortunate at the time that my ex-husband was just starting in the real estate field and he was really busy. And we thought together, I'm going to get my real estate license and we're just going to explode, right? Well, that was 2007, right before the housing market crash. And I again had to learn the hard way that money does not come easy.
Right. Yeah. I sold a home in 2007 and bought a home that it was being built in 2007. And then 2008 happened and the development wasn't done yet. The developer had to file for bankruptcy before it was completed. And oh, it was just a mess, an absolute mess. I don't own that place anymore, but what a learning experience that certainly was for me. Was your family supportive of your decision to strike out on your own, or were they very traditional and you have to have a job and you need to have security?
Yeah, absolutely not. They wanted me to stay with the job. It gave me a fixed salary and I had health insurance and who knows what's going to happen in real estate. They obviously didn't know we were going to go through a crash, but real estate is commission based. So unless I'm finding clients who are buying houses, I'm not getting paid at the end of the day. So they did not support me in my entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I can certainly understand and appreciate that. So here's a question I really do want to ask. And I ask the women on my show this question: what makes women such great entrepreneurs?
For me, it's because I come from contribution first. I come from gratitude and from my heart. I truly want to impact and help people. And I think oftentimes men are more logical, where they will ask for money first and then serve, whereas women are more serving first and then asking for money. So that did really well for me in real estate because I was helping people find their dream homes, or for me, it was more of a focus on investors because the prices came down so much and I understood the math behind it. I was able to help people find investment properties with their money.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. We've got less than 2 minutes to our first break. What do you think is the highest value skill anyone can develop?
Not giving up and taking action. Even if you have a failure, you still have to have a lesson that you learned. Don't give up and just keep at it until you are successful.
I love how quickly you answered that. That tells me that this really is ingrained in your life and this is why you are successful. And we'll explore a lot more of that when we come back. We are with Angela Duncan and we're going to talk about building wealth and how she specifically helps women. And we're going to talk about her book. She's got a book that came out last year called Empower Your Money, 101 Simple Ways for Female Entrepreneurs to Create Financial Freedom. We'll talk about why so many people are not financially fluent. I love that. And maybe some of the best advice she has that we can become financially free. I can't wait to explore all of this and more. We will come back after the break on the other side, and there's so much more. So I sure wish that everyone would listen to this because money is such an important topic. I can't wait to explore more. We'll come back. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Residents of Alligator Point, Florida, discovered a 400-pound gabrielunzee bear raiding their garbage. They called the local wildlife authorities. The officers came out and shot the bear with a tranquilizer dart in order to move him. Unexpectedly, the frightened bear swam out into the water, where it started to drown as the tranquilizer began taking effect. Adam Warwick, an officer from the Wildlife Commission, jumped into action, swimming towards a juggernaut bear, while the other officers tried to figure out how to rescue both of them. Adam was somehow able to grab the bear and paddle 25 yards to the shore, saving the bear's life. The bear was then loaded on a truck and transported back to its home in the forest. What's the word for a last-minute attempt to get something done? A charrette. It's marching down. Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
You're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Angela Duncan, and we are going to talk about building wealth. And exciting news, I have a brand new book coming out probably later this week. There's just one more thing that needs to get fixed. It's called The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach, and it will be on Amazon. And I'm hoping that we can release either on Friday or early next week, but be on the lookout for that. The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach. It is book number 10 for me. I am so excited. I can't wait for you to experience that, because if you haven't had a coach, this book will give you reasons why you should. And if you do have a coach, you'll get some nuggets that maybe you haven't learned from your coach yet. So get it. Angela, let me ask you, what do you think is the most expensive mistake you think you've ever made? It can be financial. It doesn't have to be. It can be something that you held on to for too long, or something that you didn't start soon enough.
Yeah. So early on, I thought losing that $20 on my first mutual fund would have been my biggest mistake. But it wasn't until I really changed my mindset and thought, I'm going to go from single home investing, meaning having rental properties that are single family home, and get into what we call syndications. So a syndication is a group of people who bring their money together and they buy an apartment complex. Well, what I really didn't know, and I didn't have a coach or a mentor at the time, someone pitched an idea for me. I said, yes, I put money in. And what I realized is that when you're buying an apartment complex, it's like a marriage, right? It's a long-term investment. It could be 5, 7, 10 years. One, I didn't understand that. It's not liquid. I can't just pull my money out. And what ended up happening is when the market shift, interest rates went up, insurance had more than doubled, rents were not in line, meaning they weren't increasing enough for us to cover those expenses. We ended up giving that apartment complex back to the bank, which meant the money that I put in disappeared. So yes, I took a tax loss on that, but I didn't do enough due diligence to understand the asset that I was investing in, nor the people that I was investing with. So that was a big mistake for me early on. I've since learned a lot about multifamily investing, and I did get back into investing after a long period of time, but you have to know what you're investing in, and you have to know the people you're investing with.
I love that you didn't let that bad experience deter you from trying again. I think a lot of people would have said, oh, real estate is just not for me. Well, no, you just had a bad scenario. Real estate makes a lot of money for a lot of people. You just didn't find the right scenario the first time, which is pretty common.
Yeah. And I didn't want to, you know, get out of the game, because I knew that real estate investing, I'd been doing real estate investing for so long, and I've watched trends. I've listened to, you know, my mentor now is Grant Cardone, and I needed to find a mentor that was doing bigger, better things and that knew the market. And he obviously has insights that I don't have access to. So if he says something, I'll do my research, but I trust now that he's my mentor and can teach me bigger and better things.
Yeah, I've read some of his books and I'm listening to some of them on Audible. So I love the energy I get from him. So that's fantastic. Let's talk about your book. It's called Empower Your Money, 101 Simple Ways for Female Entrepreneurs to Create Financial Freedom. Why did you write it?
Yeah, I wanted to create a simple book for those women that I kept hearing the same thing over and over, is they just didn't know where to start. They'd never learned about money. No one in their family had money. No one had taught them. Perhaps they're in debt. And I wanted a book to create simple ways and something that they could read short amount of time and implement into their life right away. No dictionary is needed. There's 101 tips there. You can take one and implement it, take two, you know, maybe you come back to it. But I had shared with you, you know, that I grew up in poverty, but I was also abused as a child and my mother was abused. And I thought back, like, if she just had better financial education, maybe she would not have stayed. Maybe we wouldn't have had to go through what we did, but she didn't have that information. And obviously a little bit harder back then for her to get that information. We don't have radio or podcast or YouTube, but now here's a book. Here's a book that will help you get unstuck so that you're not there waiting for something else to happen, but you can take the action with knowledge and change your life.
Yeah. And now we have all of those resources available, but there's still a lot of people who are not financially fluent. Why do you think that is?
One, lack of confidence. When you have, you know, situations like my mom and I went through, you have someone that is kind of building a wall for you, and it really keeps you down for your confidence. Two is we have so much information now. You can get lost because you can read 5 different articles on the same topic and they will all have different advice. So how do you really pick and choose what is the good information and what information is going to work for you? So finding the information is out there, yes. Implementing it is a whole other action. And sometimes people just lack the confidence to pull the trigger to do something different.
Yeah, for sure. And it seems like women haven't been socialized through the years to learn about money as compared to men, because back in the day, it was the man's job to manage money. But what if your man died before you did? Now you know nothing. So does that sound right? Do you think that's still true now, or is that not true now?
No, absolutely. I mean, the first credit card offered to women without having a husband or brother or some other man to sign off on it didn't come until the late 70s. I mean, that was 50 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And even though we've had decades, it takes time for us mindset-wise to change and for, you know, the environment to change. And even business loans weren't offered to just women until the 80s. So it hasn't been around that long that we could do things on our own. And now I think maybe this last decade, we've really have people that are focused on empowering women, teaching women so that they can take control of their finances or at least participate it if they're married. And I think we have a world that's kind of still coming up outside of the US that's maybe transitioning a little bit. And the US being a melting pot, those people coming from all those other countries are diving more into it now, whereas their cultures may not promote it as much as we do here in the US.
Yeah. And people who are coming from other cultures see the ocean of opportunity and they're not afraid to take a risk, because what do they have to lose? They had nothing when they got here.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, for sure. So give us some of your favorite advice from the book that we can use to better our financial position.
Yeah, for someone just starting off, my first piece of advice is to invest in yourself. So reading a book is investing in yourself. You know, what is it that interests you? Is it another hobby that you want to pick up and create income for yourself? Maybe you want to get out of debt, but find education that matches with your current goal. That's the first step. Other fun things in there is, you know, for example, pick a no spend day. So say it's going to be Tuesday and you're not going to spend any money on Tuesday. I see this with husband and wives. They challenge each other and pick a day and see who can actually stick to it, because it's hard. You know, you might need gas or you worked late, so you need to pick up food. So planning ahead of time is so important. One piece of advice in there I get a lot of pushback on is retirement planning first. Your kids can get a loan for college. You can get a loan for a car. You can get a loan for a house, but no one's there to bail you out during retirement. So that is your first thing that you do once you get out of debt.
That's amazing, because I mean, I was very, very fortunate that my parents helped me with college. Although I did raise calves when I was in 4-H in high school. So the first 3 semesters of my college were paid for because of my high school hobby. And then they helped me with the rest. But it was very empowering for me to be able to pay for part of my school. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah. And, you know, today we have the easy button, right? So we can go on our phone. We can subscribe to anything, Netflix, apps that, you know, put makeup on your face, all kinds of things. And then we forget about it. So I think a lot of times people who don't look at their credit cards every month are paying for subscriptions and dues and 3 gym memberships that they don't need. It's not serving them. So that's another piece of advice I always say is look at your credit cards and your bank statements, cut out what you're not using and put it towards your financial goals.
Absolutely. So what are some of your favorite wealth strategies right now? What have you been investing in? You've mentioned real estate.
Yes. So I do invest in apartment complexes and storage units, but I put in the time, I've done the research. So it's not something I recommend right out of the gate. But my company actually helps you invest in tax liens. And for the conservative, busy person, it's a great way to generate passive income and grow your wealth by allowing somebody else to do all the work. So I'll explain real quick too. What is a tax lien?
Right.
When you own a house, you have to pay property taxes. And if you get into financial distress, then maybe you don't have enough money to pay for those property taxes. Well, the government still needs your money to run their budget. They still have to build roads, pay police officers and teachers. So they're going to put a lien on your property and then sell it to an investor with an interest rate. So the government still gets their money, but the homeowner has this lien on their property. Well, our company comes in and we buy those liens. And the interest rate that we earn varies from state to state. I know, Brian, you mentioned you are in Iowa, and it's one of the higher paying states. Florida is at 18%. I believe Iowa pays up to 24%. So obviously our fund is looking for those higher interest paying states in order to pay our investors the rates that we can.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. You just said that your company helps people do this, but I would imagine knowing where those liens are, county courthouses, for example.
Right. Well, most states now have stepped into the 21st century and they do online bidding. So they will release a list of properties that currently have liens on it or unpaid property taxes. They'll put it out there and then they have a date in which you can start bidding and then a date and time in which the bidding stops. So most of that, 26 states have that online platform. So it's getting to know your own county, start in your backyard. Don't go state to state because there's some things we can talk about in a little bit as to why you don't want to do that. But you can just look at the properties that are up for sale for those tax liens right online on the county's website.
Fantastic. We've got less than 2 minutes to our next break. When is the best time to start talking to your children about money?
As soon as they can pop out of your belly, you know. You know, I did this thing with my daughter very early on and it was silly, but I was teaching her stock symbols via flashcards when she was a baby. And I definitely loved baby Einsteins for her at an early age because it just started to ingrain information to her that I felt cartoons were definitely lacking.
Oh my gosh. You taught your daughter stock symbols or stock signs with flashcards. That is absolutely amazing. I love that idea. That's really great. So we can talk, you know, after the break a little bit more about that. But I would imagine that as you go out into the world, they realize that the way that you talk about money with them is very different from how other parents talk about money with their kids. When we come back, I'd like to ask how you prepare your kids for that conversation, because other families aren't talking about money the way that you do. We'll come right back. I'll let you think about that. And you all, we're going to go to commercial break real quick. It's Success Profiles Radio. We're with Angela Duncan. We're talking about building wealth and money and all the things that we don't think we understand as well as we should. We'll be right back. See you after the break. We'll be right back.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com. If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
We're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Angela Duncan, and we're talking about building wealth and building financial fluency. So before the break, I teased the idea that you teach your daughter about money and how it works, but I'm sure that as she goes through life and meets new friends, she will realize pretty quickly that her friends don't have the same financial literacy that she does. And so how do you prepare her for that conversation? I mean, you don't want to make her friends feel bad, but how do you navigate that? That must be a very interesting battle.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I felt like I did right. You know, we talked about doing the flashcards and controlling what information she got to watch on TV. I also did not play music in the car, and I know she hated this, but I used to listen to CDs and listen to Tony Robbins and just really wanted that vocabulary in her brain. She was coming with me when I was a real estate agent since the age of 4, and just teaching her as much as I could about money because I knew that I lacked that education. But I think what I failed to do and understand until she was an adult, and this really was an aha moment now that she's in college, is I should have put her around other kids who parents who were doing the same, who they were teaching their kids so that she could have someone that she could relate to and maybe talk business about, or, you know, run ideas or marketing ideas. She's a marketing major, but the kids that she would hang out with had no clue what she was talking about or what she was learning. And I think it maybe felt a little lonely or isolated for her, especially as she got into college. She just felt like she was on a different path and could not relate to some of the other kids who are out partying and had never had a job or a bank account or understand what a credit card does. And I think if I could at least go back and change one thing, that's definitely something I would encourage other parents who are taking the time to teach their kids to put them around other kids whose parents are taking the same responsibility as you.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about how you built your business and made your money. You went from zero to a million in just 4 months. Is that right?
Yeah, it took some really hard work, but yeah, it definitely is possible.
So how did you do that? Was there a specific mindset or were there specific action steps that took you to that?
So on that specific instance, it really was, and I hate to admit this, but part of why the real estate market crashed is because we had a debt problem. People were getting loans and not being 100% honest. And so I wanted to take advantage of the opportunity, but I understood the credit world and I understood the real estate world. So while I may have taken advantage of the system, it was intentional and it was not so risky because I knew the information from both sides. So going out and buying multiple properties, getting a loan on it, still cash flowing and being conservative because that's the type of investor I am, helped me build that wealth fairly quickly. Now, when the market crashed and we started to have some interest rate issues, we had to finagle to figure out how do we keep this going, you know, had to unload some properties. But I learned a lot during that process because I just happened to be in a situation where I could take advantage of what was going on, but also be very calculated and intentional with that risk as well.
Yeah. And then you went to 4 million in less than 2 years. Was it just a matter of doing more of what's working, figuring out what worked, and then just do more of that?
Yeah, just kept, you know, doubling down on the real estate. At the time I lived in Tampa, we could pick up a house for $30,000 and then turn around and rent it for $1,000. I mean, you do the math on that. We just kept, you know, rinse and repeat. It's kind of the, when you find a formula that's winning for you, then you keep going on that formula so that you can make sure you can, you know, continue to be success, but also just in case the market turns, then you want to be in a good position and really understand what you're doing too.
Absolutely. And for those who are trying to get, for example, to their first six figures, their first 100,000, what is the toughest part of that?
Starting. People are so scared to start that they just don't. And when they have so much information available, when you're on information overload and you get confused, you don't take action. So I think the hardest thing is just starting. But before you start, you're getting that information, find a mentor, find a coach, find someone who's truly doing and being successful in what you want to do before you go do it alone, because that's the riskiest part in investing in real estate.
Absolutely. And the skill set needed to get to six or seven figures is a lot different than what you might need to go well beyond seven figures, right?
Yeah, continue that education. For me, education never stops. I will never stop having a mentor or coach, never stop reading, never stop listening to the radio or podcasts, having mentors in my life. I want to be in rooms where people are doing bigger things than me and that know more information so that I can give back to my clients as well.
I love that. That's absolutely fantastic. Being around the right people and being in those rooms where people are making a lot of money, you can absorb and learn and ask questions and they don't judge. They're glad to answer your questions because that's what those rooms are for.
Right. They understand that they were where you were once upon a time and someone reached out a hand and gave them a hand up and helped them and taught them. So even today, you know, having an incredible podcast, I love sharing other people's stories because I'm not going to be able to reach and teach everybody. And my mission is truly to help people build wealth and not live in poverty. Mm-hmm. Then I have to share the platform. I have to understand that I'm going to put the spotlight on other people as well, just like we are today, so that we can impact more people.
Yeah. For those who are feeling stuck right now, how do you shift your money mindset so that you can attract wealth even now?
One, look at the people around you and determine, are the closest people in your life helping you? Are they uplifting you? Are they encouraging you? And if they're not, you're in a cage. And the only way to get out of that cage is to take action and to move. You need to remove some people in your life, and that's okay. And it may be temporary, and hopefully they start watching you and they get curious, and then you're able to help and share what you're doing, and maybe they turn their life around. But a lot of times people that are negative, they're in situations for a reason. It's because they're not taking their own action in their life and perhaps they're frustrated with themselves. So you might have to remove some of those people. I'm also a big advocate of not watching negative information. I don't have Netflix or Hulu. I don't subscribe to information that is not helping me along my journey. And I have control over that. I have control over what I watch on TV. So turn it off or put something more positive on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever felt like being a woman in the entrepreneurial space has been challenging in any way?
Early on in my financial advisor career, here's a funny story for you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Being a financial advisor in the early 2000s, there's a lot of men in the world. And in general, you know, finance is male-driven industry, no matter what avenue you're in. And so I found that, you know, guys would go out, they'd play poker or they'd golf. Well, I wasn't great at poker and I took golf lessons and I was terrible. I would hit the ground and I would hurt my shoulder and my wrist. And so I'm like, okay, there's got to be another way for me to be part of the boys club. And so I picked up whiskey and I learned to, you know, different whiskey types and bourbon types. And now I could go hang out with the guys at the bar because I could drink whiskey and talk about investing. And that was kind of my way of getting in, but I had to change part of who I was in order to get into the boys club. At least that's what I told myself. And even in commercial real estate today, you know, my mentors, Grant Cardone, and a lot of the heavy hitters in the real estate commercial space, it is a male-driven industry. Now, if you look at residential homes, yes, there's more female agents, but once you go into the bigger assets, it's still a very male-dominated world.
That's very interesting. You're also a keynote speaker, right?
Yeah, I love talking about money. So anyone who wants to bring me on stage and talk about money, I say yes.
Absolutely. So how did you get started? What was your first gig?
My first was my own event. In order to show other people that I could do it, I wanted to be able to create content and sell out an event. So I invited some other women to speak on my stage because each of us had something different to talk about and to teach. But I threw my own event and I packed out the house, I sold it out, and we created a lot of content and videos, which just showed me on stage. The other thing, and I know, Brian, you're going to appreciate this, is when I wrote my book, I learned very quickly from my mentor that that built credibility. Yep. So if you're looking to get on stages, you know your stuff, you're confident in your stuff, add the book to your profile. Mm-hmm. Best-selling author is the thing that catches people's catches their attention more than the fact that I've been on stages. They're more interested that I wrote a book than the experience that I can bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that you created your own event because I hear a lot of people complaining about how no one invites them on their stages. Build your own. That's why I have a podcast. I've done 3 virtual events called Authorpreneur Live. The recordings are still available, authorpreneurlive.com. So have your own event and invite other people who you want to collaborate with on your stage. And that's what you did. And it's a brilliant idea. You can synergize each other's audiences and you all build your own following just by being together. It's great.
Yep. And then it leads to other events because people saw that you spoke, you've got the book and the credibility. Money is such a hot topic. I don't think that money will ever go away. Even with the advancement of technology, we still have to exchange this tool for services, even if it is a Bitcoin world someday, who knows. But money is going to be a hot topic for a long time, and a lot of people need more education around it. So I'm just here to help, and I'm happy to kind of go along with this ride to be able to speak in front of other people.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are afraid to do their own live events because they're expensive to put on very quickly. How did you fund your event? Did you sell sponsorships or speaker sponsors?
Yeah, I worked on a budget. I knew what the venue was, and I did have sponsors, but I was strategic about my sponsors. I invited people who I knew the audience could use, and I didn't want to just have a bunch of sponsorships because then you get a bad reputation and I'm not helping them. So I brought sponsors that were going to be in line with the audience that I knew was going to attend my event.
Yeah, I love that. So let's just say that you have a database, you know, whether it's an email list or people who are subscribing to your magazine or people who've bought your book. How do you turn those people into clients and customers?
First thing I do is I ask them, what is your biggest struggle right now? For me, I ask them, what is your biggest money struggle? I sent an email out with just that basic question. The amount of replies I got because people love to talk about themselves. So when you make it about them first, it gives you so much data. You know, what are people struggling with? If it's something I know I can help with, I'm going to reach back out, schedule a call and say, here's how I can help you. And I think that response rate was incredibly eye-opening for me too.
Fantastic. We're coming against our final break. I can't believe how fast this is going. This goes so much fun, so fast because it's so much fun. And we've got one more segment to go down the stretch. We're talking to Angela Duncan about money, and we will talk about her Empower Her Money podcast. We'll talk about how to put your podcast into a profit machine mode. If you have your own show, you'll definitely want to hear this and some of the greatest lessons that she's learned from her guests. We'll talk about this and much more when we return.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Wondered who composed the world famous song Happy Birthday? The tune with different lyrics was actually written in 1893 by Kentucky sisters Patti Smith Hill and Mildred J. Hill. The song was originally titled Good Morning to All and was published by Warner Chappell Music. The two sisters had passed away with no living beneficiaries long before their melody morphed into the now infamous birthday song. And a U.S. District Court judge decided that Warner Chappell didn't own the lyrics to the song and therefore didn't have the right to charge for its use. So the song Happy Birthday became public domain for everyone to enjoy. What's another word for a happy little tune? A twinkum twankum. It's words you never heard. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Angela Duncan, and we're talking about creating wealth and money management and all things relating to money. And if you've been hearing the commercials, you know that I help people write their books. And so if that's been a dream of yours, I would love to explore that with you, find out what your idea is, figure out how we can help that to leverage that in your business, or if it's a memoir or whatever it is, whatever your purpose, whatever your reason, I'd love to talk to you about it and see if there's a fit. So you can go on to callwithbrian.com and get on my calendar. You can also go to writeabookforyou.com and learn more about what I do. But if you would like to write a book, let us help you out. So Angela, let's talk about your podcast. It's called Empower Her Money. What is this about?
Yeah. When I originally started, I thought I was just going to be a solo podcast and just tell people information. But like I've said earlier, I hired a coach who's been in podcasting a long time, and he quickly changed my mind and said, nobody will listen to it. So if you truly want to have a podcast where people will listen to it, sometimes being a solo person can be kind of boring. Mm-hmm. And so he really encouraged me to do some solo podcasts, because that does help build the brand and the credibility, but to interview other people and make it fun and share their stories and ask them questions that maybe other people want to know but are not asking. And That's how it started. I went first to my, you know, circle of friends and the women that own their own businesses. That's my focus. And ask them to share your story and teach the audience one or two mistakes that you've learned. And It kind of just took off. I think people really relate when you're being real about your story and your journey, but you're also telling people that you're a real person. You've made mistakes, and I just want to help you so that you don't make the same mistakes. So it really took off. We're about almost 200 episodes in. It's a daily podcast. So I've put a lot of time and effort to make sure that we're just giving back to the audience.
Awesome. And how long is your episode?
Under 30 minutes.
So oh, good.
I'm in Miami. We have traffic, but you can kind of get anywhere in 30 minutes. I want you to listen to the whole episode before you get out of the car.
Yeah. And this is, of course, an hour long show, but this is one reason why I love the commercial breaks, because if you are at a perfect stopping place, all you have to do is wait for the next break and you're ready to go afterwards. So yeah, it's fantastic. And I love the interview format. I think I've done in 12 and a half years, I think I've done a solo show maybe 20 times. So I really do prefer to interview people, but I can do my own show if I really want to. And sometimes I do. So let me ask you this, because the average show lasts for maybe 7 episodes. And part of that is, I think they don't have the commitment. I think maybe they don't think that people are listening to them. But more importantly, there's a cost to doing your own show, and people haven't figured out how to monetize it. So how have you done that?
Initially, when I started my podcast, I approached it as a business. This needs to be able to generate income. Otherwise, I'm not going to trade my time for free, even though I'm very passionate about what I do. So I knew I wanted to grow my audience quickly in order to have sponsors. And that was my focus. Every person that I interviewed, I made sure that they followed, liked, reviewed, and then shared it. I said, if I'm going to have you on for free, I'm going to create these reels for you, tag you, and I expect for you to share. So that was their agreement before they even came on to the show. And I think when people give their word, they truly intend to keep it. So make it easy for them. I'm posting it on all social media. I've created the clips for you. All you have to do is share it. And so that's how the audience grew pretty quickly to where I could charge people to sponsor the episode, to run commercials. We're on a podcast TV through Roku and Amazon Fire. So it's an added value for them to say I'm on TV as well, and looking for ways that I could promote them, whether it's a Facebook Live or coming to their event, whatever it was that I could add into the sponsorship so that they were getting the best value as possible. I'm not going to charge you if I don't believe that I'm providing you value. So that was one way that I was able to do that. And then from the other side, you know, if you're going to be a guest on someone's show, be respectful. It's not a pitch fest. Make sure you're adding value to their audience and being respectful and sharing the episode. But also know that you may have a chance to promote yourself. Be ready for that and have something that you can give away to that audience, whether it's a book. I have a money quiz, so each person might be a little different, But if you give me the opportunity as a guest to promote myself, again, this is a business and you have to treat it that way. Otherwise, you're kind of just wasting your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I started by trying to sell sponsorships. I found that for me, people didn't understand that radio was not an instant gratification thing. They expected to get clients immediately. And when they didn't, they gave up. I mean, if you've read Guerrilla Marketing by Jay Coffin Levinson, he spells it out very clearly that this is, you know, radio is not an instant gratification thing if you're looking to advertise on the radio. So my pivot after quite a while, after a coach finally told me, he said, Brian, your guest list is your lead list. And so some of my guests have become clients and that has worked out very well.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I like to keep my podcast guests on just for a few minutes afterwards and ask them specific money questions, because if they need some help investing and they don't know where to go, I'm going to help teach them. And if they want to invest with me, great. Or if I have a referral for someone else, great. But I want to help them too. So you're right. Having those guests on is definitely a lead magnet as well.
Absolutely. So what are the best things that you've learned from your guests?
So much. And what's incredible about radio and podcasting is we can reach the entire world. I love learning about other cultures and how women invest and how women approach business. You know, for example, in some of the Asian countries, their version of the home shopping network is extremely popular. That's where you're going to see the new items or the brand names. Whereas here in the US, you know, unless you have really gray hair, you're not watching the home shopping network, nor would I buy anything there. So that's been the biggest thing, learning about different cultures and the way that they invest and approach business.
Yeah, I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've bought something from home shopping or from QVC. It's fascinating, but it's got to be something that I really, really want for sure. Let me ask you about your morning routine, because a lot of the most successful people that I talk to conduct themselves a certain way in the morning. And I would just love to hear how you start your day.
I love this question. And it's not just the start, but the end of my day. So my start of the day is I get up, I let my dogs out, I grab my journal, and I'm writing down what my focus is, whether that's my goals right now or something I'm going to do that day. But I also write what I'm gratitude, you know, like what I'm gracious about. And it could be silly things like I live in Miami. I'm grateful that the sun is shining and it's not raining right now. You know, when you start your day and you control it with what's coming in and you have a positive and gratitude centered heart, I feel like whatever comes at you during the day, it doesn't hit as hard because you started your day in such a positive way.
Yeah.
The same goes for how you end your day. I love watching funny videos. So I said, I don't subscribe to Netflix or any of those things, but YouTube is free. So I like watching funny videos and it puts me in such a great mood. And then I go to sleep happy and I feel good. I get much better sleep. I'm not stressed going to bed because, you know, whatever happened during the day. And then you just start that cycle all over again. So control the beginning, control the end. It's what I can do. The rest of the day just rolls. And I just feel like I'm a more happier, positive person every day because I can do that.
Yeah, I like watching Facebook Reels because it feeds you what you tend to watch. And so I get Star Trek clips, or I might get clips of The Cosby Show. I think that show is hilarious. It was funny back in the day and I still laugh at it. Bill Cosby was a genius. But yeah, just fun stuff like that. I mean, even interview shows like Howard Stern interviewing some of my favorite musicians, just getting their insight. You can learn a lot from a lot of different industries. And so I love that too. Thank you for sharing that. So I know that Grant Cardone is your mentor, but for those of us who are looking for the right mentor, what guidelines do you have for that?
Find someone who, one, is successful in your space, and two, their values align with you, because there can be, you know, someone who might be teaching about real estate investing. I am a huge fan of Dave Ramsey. I used to teach Financial Peace University. He teaches debt-free, which is not great for me in the real estate investing, you know, platform, because we do utilize debt responsibly, hopefully. But, you know, he teaches debt-free, and that's just not something that aligns with my values. So he's no longer a coach or a mentor to me because I don't believe in what he's teaching. So that's very important when you're looking for a coach or a mentor to understand what they're teaching and make sure it aligns with you as a person as well.
Yeah. I mean, there certainly is an audience. And I agree with you. I mean, you have to use debt responsibly and you leverage debt to create wealth. I think Dave Ramsey is more for the person who doesn't understand money and is undisciplined and really has no idea what to do. And so he just gently leads people toward not having debt. But I think there also is a place, a time and place where maybe you've graduated from a mentor. Has that happened for you?
Yep. That would be a perfect example. Dave Ramsey, when we first started listening to him and reading his books, we had a little bit of credit card and school debt. And then we got out from under that. And then we graduated from there. But what I do find for Dave Ramsey, for someone perhaps, you know, maybe a husband and wife, they have a W-2 job, you know, they work for someone else, and mm-hmm. they just want something easy and simple. His yeah. plan is very easy and simple to follow. But once you've executed it and you've reached, you know, baby step 7, you're like, now what? You're going to mm-hmm. find a new coach or mentor that's doing something else that's going to allow for you to really build that generational wealth so you can teach your friends and family how to do that and how they can be successful too.
Absolutely. We've got 2 minutes until the end. I want to ask you, what has surprised you about your journey?
I really thought early on that because I asked so many questions that was, you know, something that was negative. But being a podcast host and now following my journey, if I hadn't really asked all those questions, I would not be here today. So when someone tells you, you know, don't ask questions, be quiet, sit down, don't listen to them. Make sure you're always on this journey of learning. And if you need to ask questions, ask away.
Absolutely. And the question that I ask everyone, who inspires and motivates you?
Right now, I'm a Christian first, so God is my inspiration. I'm following along the path that he's given to me and with the skills that he's provided to me, but also my daughter's in college. I know she's always watching, and I just want to be the best version of myself for God, for myself, and for her.
I love that answer so much. Thank you for sharing that. And as we get to the end, how can we find you? How can we tribe with you and vibe with you?
Yeah, two places. My website is morewithangela.com, where you can get a lot of free information about the investing that I recommend. And then follow me on social media, Empower Her Money on Instagram.
Fantastic. And final thoughts as we close.
Don't stop learning. And if you get knocked down and fail at something, keep trying.
Fantastic advice. Angela, thank you for being here. This was a lot of fun and you were a joy to talk to. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Success Profiles Radio. Please join us every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I interview another world-class achiever, learn what they did, what they overcame, and the lessons we can learn along the way. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, take care. Goodbye.
Thank you for being a part of Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. We'll have guests that will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, briankwright.com. If you've ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living, then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join us again next week for more Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright.